Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about King Kong Lives.
1986.
Yeah, it's a sequel to the 76 one because they show footage from the 76 one at the beginning of this, which I didn't know. I thought it was just going to be like, oh, I guess it's kind of a sequel, which it sort of is, kind of just not really have too many ties to the original other than the footage they show. But it's like the same director as King Kong 76 and same producer. So yeah, this is a sequel to the 76 Kong. How do you want to go through this?
Because this Kong has tits. Okay. So, that was my first note. Oh no. My first note is King Kong Hospital. I didn't understand what that thing was at first. Like, I go, okay, so King Kong is in a giant, they made a giant hospital for King Kong.
Right, because the way the last one ended was with King Kong's heartbeat, and then it's stopping. Like, everyone's standing around the body. In this one, as soon as they go into that room and you see all the scientists, you can hear that heart beating again. I'm like, oh. So I guess King Kong didn't die, even though I'm pretty sure King Kong died.
Right.
Right.
And there's this thing that's contraption that they have hung over there. And it turns out it's an artificial heart.
Yeah.
That the plan is to implant it into Kong if only they had enough blood to do a transfusion.
Okay. So before we get into it.
Okay.
Full disclosure.
Okay.
I love this movie.
You do?
Yes.
Hold on. When we were talking about getting ready to record.
Yeah.
And we recorded this one and Valley of the Guanji in this session. And I was like, are you ready for four? And you're like, yeah, I can't wait to talk about this. And then you posted, but you put the emoji of that wide-eyed, embarrassed face.
Okay, so...
And I was like, which movie does that refer to? And you said, in a way, both.
I have strong feelings about both. Guanji, I was super bored. This movie, I super love. Here's the thing. I'm watching this movie. I feel like, okay, first of all, I think the dialogue and acting were subpar. It wasn't the best. So I'm watching this movie, and I'm like... As I'm watching it, I'm like, I kind of am digging stuff that they're doing in this movie. Why is this not available streaming or on Blu-ray or DVD in the United States? I'm like, what is wrong with this movie? I am entertained. This is like halfway through. So I look up King Kong Lives on Rotten Tomatoes. It has 0%. Which means I think it only had like 10 reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. They're all the green splatter thing. And they all were like, people know that they're making a boring movie or whatever. There's so much stuff in this movie that I liked. And I think I might chalk it up to the fact that it's not the same Kong story. It's a totally new Kong story. And I didn't know how it was going to end. I had no frame of reference to this movie.
Sure.
So everything was a surprise and everything was kind of crazy. It's like, I feel like once they started, okay.
Crazy. Yeah.
I don't know if you, I think I liked it more than you. But like when they had the Kong in the hospital and they started breaking out like the giant like forceps and stuff
during the operation
and the giant like cotton balls, I'm like,
yeah,
holy shit, they're gonna do open heart surgery on a kaiju, on a giant creature.
It's like, yeah, with like clown props.
But
I was like, what is it? Like, I was like, if you had to use, I was like, at first I was like, is this those like fireplace tools?
That's what I was wondering, because it's like, it makes sense that everything is scaled up. That makes sense. Like, I feel like they had to do this procedure, but I mean, it's been 10 years. Kong has been here 10 years. It says 10 years later. So I guess it's the they had time to create real instruments, surgical instruments. So why did they make him so goofy? I kind of was like, oh, but they didn't have time to get this stuff to do the surgery, but clearly they made an artificial heart. That artificial heart was amazing looking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to still exist somewhere in some storage facility or something. That thing was cool.
You're waiting for the auction of the...
I wouldn't be able to put it anywhere in my house. But the, like, okay, so I'm watching this thing and I'm like, okay, this is bonkers.
Yeah.
This is nothing like the 76 Kong. And I kind of was ready to go along for the ride. Like, if this is how you're going to start your movie,
okay.
If this is how you're going to start your movie, then I'm like, how is this not the finale of a movie where you do open heart surgery on King Kong?
All
right. And so I was like, okay, cool. But before we even get to that, before that can happen, we meet Lady Kong.
Right.
Which I wish there was a better name. I do wish there was a better name than Lady Kong. Even in the credits, the actor is credited as playing Lady Kong.
Right. I did like in the closing credits that top billing went to King Kong and Lady Kong.
Right. Why didn't they just call her like Queen?
Or yeah, something? That would have been great.
Yeah. I was excited because right when we got done with the old footage, we got like this guy in the woods or in the jungle, immediately meets this other Kong, and I'm like, oh, crazy! There's two Kongs. Cool. So I was on board with that. I like that he told the natives, like, stop shooting, you'll kill her. But then when he saw that the Kong was just passed out, he was like, oh, okay, this works. Now I'm going to make a bunch of money. Which I thought was kind of fun. The idea was fun that this guy was kind of like a denim, where he just wanted to make money off Kong, and he gets called out on it. But from like 10 minutes on, like from the movie, like on, then none of that stuff even matters, because he falls in love with Linda Hamilton, who I guess they hate each other for like 10 minutes, and then that's it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, his whole thing where at first he's very much about, you know, this is his, he's going to get rich because he discovers Kong, Lady Kong. First of all, there's this element of this movie that's kind of like, why don't we do Kong? We're going to make Kong again now. So this is going to be, this time what we're going to do, they'll make it a Lady Kong, and we'll switch the roles. So like, she's like got the hots for like a human dude. And
oh yeah,
we'll do that this time. And it'll be like, see what we did there? Yeah.
This feels like a bridge between King Kong and Son of Kong. Like the, like that's what this was.
It definitely is, because of the ending.
Okay, so right off the bat, when this dude...
So he's in Borneo, and then, he's walking around, throwing the snake around, doing all that kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden, there's the big hand comes in, and you were like, oh, this Kong, and then you notice she's got boobs, and yeah. I was like, oh, so I guess that's the girl one.
And her hair had little like pinkish highlights.
Well, it's just, her hair is like auburn or
yeah. I love the giant hand.
And then lots we get of giant hand stuff in this.
Giant feet too. We get the giant feet in the plane, and then there's a couple. I think there was a shot or two where the giant feet were in the hangar. Everything okay? Yeah, my notes clearly. I get really excited around the heart surgery. because I, in all caps, I wrote giant blood bags, which was awesome. Look,
we're not lancing a hemorrhoid here. We're replacing a heart.
Like I said, that's the dialogue,
actual dialogue from the movie.
The dialogue was not great at all. But I feel like because the Kong show up so early, it's good to see them throughout.
You know, I sit there going, yeah, I gotcha. The disastrous ending of the first King Kong movie.
It's undercut.
The destruction, the way that Kong should be a symbol of fear to the public, yet when Lady Kong shows up on the plane, the people are crowding to getting close.
Right. Didn't make sense. That's what I said. I said Kong Mania, like how soon we forget. Like it's enthusiasm. it's been 10 years, but
oh man, that, you know, in the big crowd scene when, yeah, where the reporters talk about how everyone's going bananas.
Yeah.
There is actually a black kid waving a Confederate flag.
I didn't notice.
Ooh, yeah.
Yikes.
Yikes.
Maisie Duke's a Hazard fan? Let's say that. I didn't notice.
Yeah, so he's real quick to sell Lady Kong. But then he immediately's like upset about, hey, how about you throw a little money to her stuff? You know, why don't you give her a little bit? You know, suddenly he's got response, but he just sold her off. And now he's like all of a sudden concerned. Yeah, that whole thing is kind of...
Yeah. All of the setup...
Oh, by the way, another thing in that big crowd scene, the parade scene, I didn't catch this on my own, but there is someone holding a sign that says, "You Kong, Me Fei," with a heart on it.
Oh. That's all right.
A little meta.
I like that. Do you think this was supposed to be Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange? Do you think it was originally supposed to be like the same characters and maybe they had separated? Jessica Lange wouldn't be a doctor. I guess that doesn't make sense.
No, I don't think it was. I mean, I don't imagine that they had anticipated using them.
Yeah.
In this movie, I don't know if they knew they were going to be making a sequel when they made the first one enough to like get them, you know.
I did appreciate something. That they got through their relationship sort of back and forth done with quick. Like her just saying he's money grubbing and, you know, all that stuff where she couldn't stand
him. Yeah. I'm glad or they kinda... she refers to him as Indiana Jones to the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm glad they got rid of that real quick. In the in a little bit of a weird scene with the
what?
I guess it's jumping ahead to the sleeping bag.
Yeah, the sex. Man. Yeah, it's not only that. It's in a way, it's also ridiculous in the way. It's also juxtaposed to the flirting scenes between Kong and Lady Kong too.
Right.
Like the first time we see after he saves her and he carries her out.
Oh, the dude says that it says he's horny. He could smell her 2 miles away.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But that sequence in the hangar was cool though.
Yeah. I feel like if Kong, if he were to play up his apeness, he would have carried her different, but, he carries her like a human hero, but
officer and a gentleman.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, there was like when they're alone, then they finally escape and they're up in those mountains and they're like hanging out together.
He tries to give her a snake,
and there's a lot of like, yeah, he gives her a snake and she doesn't like it. It's like it's kind of like kids, kind of like when you show a snake at the girl you have a crush on in. Yeah. 50s cliches, and there's all that kind of, and then he's like, oh look, I skinned my knee, I need some attention, and there's all that kind of thing going on. Then a little later there's the sleeping bag and little Hamilton like throws it open inviting the guy to lots of this kind of like, you know, they don't have to speak for their courtship either.
Right.
Kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, they try to like make parallels between the human characters and the Kongs getting together. So like as soon as like because he hurts his arm and she patches it up.
Right.
Kong scrapes his knee and she puts water on it. So it's like as soon as like it was nighttime and the Kongs were sleeping and then they slept, the humans slept together, I'm like, okay.
Right. Or like she's putting water on Kong's knee and Kong starts kind of reaching his arm around her to cuddle and she's like, pushes him away. Like, fresh.
I was fine with all of that. I like it was like it's very rare where we see it kind of reminded me of War of the Gargantuas.
Yeah.
Where you see like two monsters but people
trying
aren't,
to communicate.
Yeah, but the people aren't there to tell us what's going on. Like just the audience gets to see this sort of what happens to kaiju when people aren't around explaining. Like you don't have the Mothra twins telling us what they're talking about. But yeah, there was something about this whole thing with those two in the woods that reminded me of War of the Gargantuas. But before with the hangar scene, when Kong frees Lady Kong.
Yeah.
I loved it. There was like cars flipping around. Kong was picking up the forklifts and stuff.
Yeah, and it bursts into flames.
Yeah,
he gets rammed with like the bulldozer, and then
and there's some good cop shots too. Where I think
I liked how the guy sends the jeep into like the military jeep to knock those guys from so they don't shoot them.
Oh, that was an awesome stunt.
Yeah,
with those three guys standing on the other car and then the crashing. Yeah, that was great. I liked it because we get to see Kong destroying stuff and we're only like a half hour in and Kong's already like tearing up buildings and cars and stuff.
I like all these chains that they made.
Oh, the big giant chains?
Yeah.
They would be in like the foreground? Yeah. Those are cool. But what's like, okay. So we get to see like Kong destroying model trucks, but then we also see like big, like actual size vehicles also blowing up and stuff.
Right.
Like we get to see both. Usually it's like one or the other. I thought all that. I really enjoyed all of that. The scene, okay. Linda Hamilton, I didn't bother to like even know what their names are, and I think the dude's name was Patrick, I don't remember. the scene where they were going to look for Kong and Lady Kong in the Jeep, where they're just like hauling ass, where Linda Hamilton's hauling ass through the woods. I thought that was awesome.
Or her truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she kind of looks like a badass and they're going out to go find the Kongs and she's wearing like the biggest shoulder pads ever. which is funny because later in the movie when she's like wearing like a regular shirt, it doesn't have any shoulders on it. The waterfall she fell down seemed like she could survive pretty easily. It didn't seem that big of a waterfall.
Where the bridge was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But whatever. What I liked also is we get the full military against King Kong. It happened to like in so far in Kong movies before this, it's either the biplanes or the helicopters, but we don't really see a lot of tanks against Kong that. Usually that's like Godzilla territory.
Yeah.
We get military helicopters in Skull Island. There's some military vehicles in Peter Jackson's Kong, but this is like Toho style military tanks and stuff. And what's cool is they're like real. They got real ones and tiny ones for Kong to mess with, but then they go and blow up the real ones. Like that was a lot of fun to see. We don't see a lot of that. They amped up the blood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he gets shot up.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of, like, it's almost like squibbed or something. There's they tear his skin up a lot.
Yeah, but oh my gosh. So I think one of my favorite moments in the movie is Kong is escaping. They capture Lady Kong, and Kong escapes by jumping off this huge cliff down into a river.
Yeah.
That stunt was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get to see a lot of that either. Like,
cool when the costume gets wet.
Yeah. Like, there's the classic animated GIF of Godzilla jumping off the cliff into the water.
Right. But
this was like stunt man.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was cool.
And then the head hits the rock. Dunk.
Yeah, and they assume he's dead. And
then you just put all the blood in the water. Yeah. By the way, Sergeant Taggart from Beverly Hills Cop.
Right. I'm like, that guy That's looks great. Familiar. I'm like, oh, yeah, he's the guy. The miniature trees and forest stuff looked really good.
That set was great.
Oh, there was one
all
set.
All the trees. I like as goofy as Kong and Lady Kong doing their little courtship dance, the set they built was amazing. All the miniature trees and that.
There was one shot. It was one shot where they were flying in a plane and they look down and see Kong running through a neighborhood. It was amazing. And it was like a 2 second or 3 second long shot. I'm like, why did they build
it?
You might have missed it. It's when they were flying around in the plane and it was like a green screen looking. Mm. It was right before the dude got his dad's Lamborghini stepped on.
Huh.
Go back and watch it. It's literally a 2 second model shot from the point of view of the plane looking down. And it's one of those big sort of War of the Gargantua like fields. And you see like the top of the houses and stuff and backyards. I don't know why it's such a short shot. It'll definitely be in the show notes or in the show artwork. It was really cool. and I don't know why he didn't destroy anything in it. He was just running by. It's almost like they had a set or they had this model from another movie and they're like, oh, can we run him through here? We won't break anything. They're like, sure. It was weird. But I thought the models were good. I liked kind of all the integration of the small props that Kong held matching up with the live action set piece props and stuff.
What'd you think of the baby alligator?
That is what I wanted to talk about next, because it's also the same as the snake. The snake, I was like, I don't think that snake scaled right. I think they try to get the tiniest snake to make it look like a regular size snake. The baby alligator I thought was hilarious.
Yeah.
Because at first I thought it was just a toy alligator, but I'm like, oh no, it's a baby.
Well, alligator. First of all, before we get to see this moment, there's them saying, listen, he needs like all his protein to survive. How could he survive with,
right.
You know, and then they cut to the swamp and you go, this is where we're going to show us him eating a ton of fish or something.
Right.
And then it's the alligator stuff. And so there's like clearly like the baby, like the kind of baby alligator that's like a pet baby alligator. Mm-hmm. And so
for him holding it,
the proportions of that alligator is a certain way. So right. He picks up that little baby alligator and then cuts to a close up of like a real alligator's mouth open.
Right.
And then cut back to the baby alligator. It was very much like when they use dolls in Toho movies to represent people, but the dolls proportioned where their heads are too big.
They're like off-the-shelf dolls.
Yeah.
Yeah. It made me laugh. I thought it was funny. And I'm like, there's no way they could have thought that they were going to get away with this being the same alligator.
Right.
But it made me laugh because we kind of saw it with the snake and I'm like, okay, but I didn't know what I was. If they didn't cut to the shot of the full size alligator, I'd have been okay. That's kind of clever.
Yeah.
But then when they did the full size alligator, man, are they trying to pull a fast one on us?
Yeah. You're trying to make us, you think that we can't tell the difference.
Right.
Between the shape of the heads.
Exactly. Or the proportion of the eyes. The but him with the like string of alligators that he was and walking around with.
Mouth?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was
cool. And I was like trying to see if that was, because like I had some rubber alligator toys when I was little.
They look pretty rubber.
And they look pretty close to that, but yeah. I guess this because all alligator toys probably look like alligators. Right. But I was like, I wondered if they just kind of like did a little extra paint on those same ones to kind of give it the right.
I was I was super excited to see Mike Starr in the movie. I'm a big fan of Mike Starr. He played
the soldier guy.
He was one of the two guards that was guarding Lady Kong.
Yeah.
He in the movie Cabin Boy. I don't know if you've seen or remember Cabin Boy, but he plays a kaiju in it. But he's like just dressed like a businessman, and he goes. There's a boat with like a tiny Chris Elliott puppet in it, and he grabs the tiny Chris Elliott puppet, and he gets out fingernail clippers, and is about to cut off Chris Elliott's head, but. It was fun. I like Mike Starr a lot. He's one of those guys that just kind of shows up.
Yeah.
Like, especially in like the 80s and 90s and even like 2000s and stuff. He just would show up in these movies. He's like the bad guy in Dumb and Dumber that eats all the.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like him. And also in Ed Wood. He's great in Ed Wood also. So like about halfway through this movie when they don't know where King Kong is.
By the way, someone else who was in the credits.
Leon Rippey.
Yeah,
I recognize the name. I don't remember. I don't know who he is.
He was on Alcatraz.
Oh, maybe that's why I recognize his name.
He was that Dr. Beauregard on Alcatraz.
In the 50s.
Both. He exists in both. He existed in both present day and.
Because I remember Matt Craven.
In the old time.
I remember Matt Craven being a doctor in that show, or maybe he was a government guy. I need to rewatch that show. I enjoyed it. I have one in my iTunes, of one episode in my iTunes, because we were watching it like pre-DVR. No, it wouldn't have been pre-DVR, but we missed an episode or it didn't get recorded. So I bought it on iTunes.
I have some random episodes like that too for when you missed serialized dramas. Yeah.
Like I have one episode of Lost. I think it's The Constant because I needed to pull audio for an episode of the podcast. So I just own this one episode. I have all the Blu-rays, but yeah. I wrote, haha, tiny alligator is a regular sized one. Oh, and the frog watches. I forgot that there's a frog watching this go down.
Yeah.
That
he watches and he does that thing where he puts his finger around his collar going, yikes.
It reminded me of the Budweiser frogs for some reason. Kong walks upright and on all fours. He kind of switches back and forth.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. What do you prefer? Upright?
Well, for this Kong, I like upright. It definitely felt like first it was Lady Kong, I think, that I noticed that, oh, she's doing kind of more of the the gorilla walk. And then then when they were both together, they would do it together, yeah.
So the sort of mountain guys, the hillbilly guys,
the hunters, yeah,
totally taken from Jaws, right? That felt like Jaws when they're all in the boats.
Oh, totally did.
Yeah, which I was fine with. Okay, the hunters, we'll call them hunters because that sounds less offensive.
I think the credit is hunters.
Okay, that whole scene was weird, where they're sitting around drinking and. Burning Kong's face with the stuff and shooting at him, but probably one of the craziest things that we've seen a monster do in one of these movies.
Well, that they trapped him in the in the stone, like in the gravel, basically.
Yeah.
That he was in, stuck there, so they were able to get up close to his face and react to him. It's definitely kind of like, you know, we can't react to his face unless he's holding you in his hand. And what do we do? And so then they did that, so then they could abuse him. Out of the one of the hunters are going, "Hey, come on, cut it out, guys!"
Right. And doesn't that guy die anyway? Like, that's the kind of guy that's supposed to stay alive. Okay, this dude, this first dude, gets broken in half. And I was here for it. I was all about that. I thought that was the most awesome thing.
I was not. That was shocking, and I was like going, "Whoa, this is not your daddy's King Kong."
I mean, I guess make them assholes so that you don't feel sympathetic when a guy gets snapped in half. A lot of times we just see,
but you saw
little spine.
It wasn't particularly like if you rip someone in half, it would probably be a lot of blood all over.
Yeah.
It was like he got it like a clean cut.
Right.
Like he cut him frozen.
But
still fun to watch.
Yeah, we totally unexpected. Because I just, you know, a lot of times we'll just see kaiju stick people in their mouths. And that's it. Which is what we get right after the broken in half.
Oh, right. Because you had to do the. Oh, right. I forgot. There's also the gag. Oh, no. That's
the next guy. It's a different guy. Yeah, it's the next guy.
Yeah.
The guy gets broken in half, and then the next guy gets eaten.
Yeah. And it's funny. The composite shot is like the performance of a magic trick.
Yes.
It's like you see the hand, you see the mouth, and then
the mouth goes over the hand.
You go, you hide, you look under, something's going behind the hand, and then up, the guy disappeared.
Yeah. And then you see Kong chewing, which looked funny.
It did look funny because they had extra stuff going on, like his
mouth.
Yeah, extra bulb blowing around in his mouth or whatever. And didn't know exactly what that was unless the guy was, like, still alive in there trying to...
Oh, man.
I don't know what that meant.
It looked like puppeteering goofiness.
Yeah, it's kind of like... it's like the version of when Kong was blowing just Galang dry.
Right.
And so then... Yeah, right. And so then he's like, there's something in my teeth.
Yes, this was perfect. Because the look on his face, before he even reached in, you could tell, there's something stuck in my teeth.
There was so much goofiness with these faces, and then it gets super schmaltzy at the end, too, with the same, like, they did so much to create expression on these faces, I feel they went overboard for my taste, go on. You love
it's hard. It's hard because the drama with the you're like, I feel like I'm supposed to feel like horrible for these creatures and rooting for them. And I feel like it's supposed to be like pretty dramatic, thrilling stuff. But there's a lot of goofy stuff in this movie. And when Kong reaches into his teeth to pick something out of his teeth, I'm like, okay, it's goofy, but I kind of like it.
Okay.
It gives Kong kind of personality. I don't know. There's something. I don't know. But he picks out of the teeth the dude's hat.
Yeah.
And it's a little tiny prop hat.
Yeah.
Because at first I didn't know what it was. I'm like, is it a skull? Is it a.
I go, what's it going to be? Because you know it's going to be something.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it to be like a boot.
I was thinking it was going to be like a bone. He got a bone stuck in his teeth. But the hat, I think, was kind of fun. I don't know. I think they should have eaten the guy first and then do the breaking the guy in half.
Later.
Yeah.
Because he was already filled up on people.
Yeah. So this is the point where the POV from the plane looking down on the neighborhood happens. We get a bunch of silly vignettes, which reminded me of the Godzilla 98 advertising, the teaser trailers, where it's two guys and they're just talking about their Lamborghini. And all of a sudden a Kong foot comes in and steps on it. He's like, my dad's going to kill me. And then there's the one where the guys are on the golf course and stuff. Like, there's a lot of like little stuff like that that happen, which I thought was maybe a little too silly, but I think I was already on board with the movie. That I was okay with the, because we got to see a little tiny Lamborghini model get stepped on. I don't right. know if it was just a toy Lamborghini. Could have been. But it was so 80s. We've seen like maybe like in our entire run, this is episode 97, and then we've had like 5 bonus episodes. We haven't really seen a lot of kaiju movie that takes place in the 80s. It's like the crappy clip show Gamera movie, Q the Winged Serpent, and like Godzilla 1985. And like, other than that, like, there really isn't a lot of 80s. So it's kind of fun to see a Lamborghini get stepped on, because I feel like we passed over that whole era of movies. But I like that.
Yeah, sometimes I sit and I go like, how? Because I liked that 70s, the Kong before this.
Right.
A lot.
Right.
And I was just like, how did I miss this one?
Yeah, I was going to ask. You had not seen it?
No.
Oh.
Not. I have no recollection of this movie.
Either do I. And I don't know why it doesn't exist in the United States. It's really weird. Do you think that, because you hold the 76 one in pretty high regard.
I guess it's 10 years. 10 years is a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I was 3 in 76, so I clearly didn't see that movie in theaters.
Right. But, I mean, it was a big part of your childhood.
Yeah, it did. It must have been on TV.
Do you think that maybe this movie suffers from that, like that you were hoping for more of that movie? Because this one's definitely goofier than the other.
Way goofier. That happens a lot in sequels.
It's almost sure. like Gremlins 2 to Gremlins 1.
Yeah.
Like, it just kind of goes like crazy insane. Which I guess I was in the right mood for it. But is around the time where, like, halfway through the movie, I'm like, I was getting excited because I'm like, I don't know how this ends. I don't know what happens. Like, I figured out that that Lady Kong was pregnant before it was revealed in the movie. Like, it would seemed obvious when they had her held captive. And they're like, oh, she's not feeling well. Oh, she's not eating. Oh, this and that. I'm like, well, she's pregnant, because it just made sense to me.
Yeah, I did feel like, but it might have been from more stories after this, like movies that came after this, like, you know, making things pregnant is something I kind of expected was going to happen.
Yeah,
that they're going to hook up and we're going to result in, you know, in that. So I wasn't surprised when it happened.
Well, My main concern was, so at the beginning, we saw a very big, like a long sequence of this open heart surgery.
Yeah.
I was getting really anxious that by the end of the movie, we were going to see the birth of Baby Kong, like, as elaborately done.
You wish.
No way. No way. How, like, she falls in the barn.
Yeah.
And her legs are sticking out of it. And I'm like, you can't show this. There's no way. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I'm glad it was glossed over and they didn't show it. But at the same time, I'm like, there had to have been some sort of like after effects or any kind of like evidence that the birth happens.
Well, I liked that, like when you first see the baby, he came out wet.
Yeah.
Like in the close-ups, he was dry again.
Yeah.
But I didn't like the little baby that was wet. By the way, the baby, I don't know, it might be too soon to talk about the baby, but the baby is so small.
Right.
It's not.
It should be to scale with like a human baby.
Yeah, it's like this baby is basically the size of an adult human in King Kong's hand, or maybe even smaller than that.
Yeah.
It's like the size of the across his palm.
Yes.
And I was like, how is that going to grow up to be giant King Kong?
Right. Yeah, I thought the same thing. Also, it's probably a really easy birth.
Yeah. It's basically, it's like the equivalent, like if, like Lady Kong, I'm going to almost call it Queen Kong. Lady Kong is basically like a kangaroo. You know, it's like the equivalent, like where like the baby comes out, it's like an embryo. And, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. I thought as soon as she crashed into the barn, I thought, oh, there's no room at the inn, so the baby has to be born in the barn. I was like, is this like a, no, it's not religious.
Jesus story?
Yeah, I thought it was like a Messiah story or something. But no.
All right, I saw that segment you said of King Kong going through the neighborhood. That's the best part of the whole movie.
Oh, did you watch? You looked at it?
Yeah, I just saw it.
Oh, it's like, what, 2 seconds?
It is so fast.
Why was that built?
That is the maybe they didn't. Maybe it isn't as good. Maybe the long version isn't as good as. Either it could be that it's just not as good. Like it looks all right from there, but I don't know. It looks really good.
Yeah.
Is that just the best part of the whole thing, or? That's all the set that they had.
And but
they
why were, would they build all of that? What's the point of building all of that?
I don't know.
Unless
but
they use that for the Lamborghini stomp.
It's that it is good.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm that glad I angle, saw it because I could have missed
that
it. Really
angle
easy.
On Kong is yeah. I missed it.
Yeah.
But that angle on Kong is really good.
Right. I think a lot of the effects in this, even the barn that she smashes into, looked really good. And what she like crashes and it just kind of like collapses around her. Like I thought a lot of the integration between the models and the live action were really well done. I didn't notice a lot of like kind of seams between the two composites. The green screen was awful though. Like when they were flying in the plane. Like they had like blue lines around them, so it did look bad.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's just the era.
Yeah,
but like if you watch like Ghostbusters,
yeah, it's so weird.
It looks weird. The coloring,
but the Lady Kong sitting in the hangar, chained up next to all the people in the jeeps, like look great. Use that technology to do the other thing.
Yeah, maybe it's just you know hit or miss.
The general. Oh, first of all, Kong's getting shot up and he starts attacking these tanks. And you're just like he's just getting shot and you know he's going to get killed, but you're just hoping that he's able to smash all the tanks before he goes down completely.
Yeah.
And he picks up the tank with the general in it and throws it into a cemetery. And the tank kind of explodes, and I'm like, oh, man, I wanted that general to go out better.
Lieutenant Colonel Nevitt.
Yeah, I was like, oh, man, he deserves a better death. He is such an a-hole. And then Kong goes up to him. And, okay, so here's the thing. We saw Charles Grodin get stepped on, and it cut away right before we saw the aftermath. And in this one, I was thinking the exact same thing, because it's the comp shot of the hand in front of the actor coming down and hitting him.
Right, but this is the Kong where we've already seen him rip a guy in half.
Right. And this dude got beaten to the ground with his legs hanging out of the ground.
Yeah, it looks like the Beetlejuice gravesite model, but his legs are hanging out of the grave.
Yeah. I loved it.
I enjoyed that.
Because I thought we got gypped out of a good death twice. With the hand smash and with the throwing of the tank. So it was good to see that aftermath. That was a good death. And then Baby Kong. Baby Kong lives and King Kong dies, and it doesn't really, the only, I mean, it's not a great movie, but the thing that kind of disappointed me is that the artificial heart really doesn't come into play. I thought that the artificial heart would do something or would keep him alive.
Well, I think the artificial heart is what was killing him. There was like I don't know what, I forgot what exactly Linda Hamilton said happened, where they're like, oh shoot, he's only going to last a day. And I liked that. I thought periodically he would like grab his chest and stuff during the movie. And I kind of, that what I liked about that is that at least that kind of put a clock on it. Yeah. Like you kind of had this thing that you were headed towards something, and you had like a limited time to get to the end because you knew that Kong was going to die. It's kind of like the Godzilla movie where he's about to have a meltdown.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, it was just only a matter of time and it's progressing to that. And in that sense, yeah, but they went, so they went, so it was super goofy. So many ways, Kong gets hit with the golf ball, just like just goofy Kong stuff. And then at the end, they try and turn it into this emotional thing.
Yeah.
Where all three Kongs are crying.
Oh,
they're like, show him his son. And the Kongs totally understand what the humans are telling them to do. And the baby totally is aware of what is happening, even though he was just born. It was, yeah, it didn't quite have the gravitas of the tragedy of a Kong story. Like, I think they just tried too hard to turn it into
like an action movie.
Something, you know, a tragic ending.
Right.
And it just didn't quite, they just tried to manufacture it, and I don't think they quite pulled it off myself.
Right.
You loved it.
I loved it. I thought
you were caught up in all that. Did you cry?
No, I didn't cry. But I thought it was, kind of nice.
Did you like well up a little bit?
33, 76, and 2005 are all the exact same story. The only other Kongs that are different are King Kong Escapes, which is batshit crazy Toho. And then, Skull Island, which I enjoyed it because it was unfamiliar. I knew nothing about it. I didn't know we were going to get a Lady Kong. I didn't know there was going to be a Baby Kong. I didn't know any of this stuff. I didn't know that we're going to see giant open heart surgery.
Yeah.
Gigantic Kong. Like that. I was like, oh, wow, this is all stuff we've never seen before. Like in any of the movies. I don't even think we've seen open heart surgery on like Mechagodzilla when he got, you know, made out of the bones of the first Godzilla. Like, you never see kaiju getting operated on. I think in like Pacific Rim and Pacific Rim 2, they do like extract organs and stuff
right
for the black market, but this was kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, but they don't have all like the hospital gowns and, you know.
Yeah, and it didn't really make sense why they were keeping him alive for 10 years and then do this procedure to what? It seemed like they didn't have a place for him to go. Like, why? Like, were they going to release him in the wild? Like they did with Lady Kong? Yeah,
you know, this is the kind of thing. It's always like a thing where it's like going, it's like, one of the things I was thinking about when we saw Valley of the Guanji last time, it's like, the idea says, hey, don't worry, we're going to have this thing in captivity. And I was like, what are you going to feed him? How do you think you'll be able to keep him alive? It's like, it's going to be suffering, and then you'll have a skeleton on display to tour the country. It's kind of like that too, in this way. It's like the notion that we're going to bring Kong back to life. And it's like, where are you going to keep him?
Yeah.
Wait, there's the epilogue.
Yes.
So then there's So, because like they hint about the idea of like a some type of game reserve that the Kong could live in peace,
right?
And the baby's swinging like Tarzan,
yeah,
on ropes,
maybe not as fluid as Tarzan,
and and the mom is there and she's like melancholy and. We don't know what they're saying. We don't know what's going on. How did you interpret what was going on?
I assume they took her back to her island with the baby.
No, but I meant in the scene itself. I don't mean like how we got there. I mean the scene that was going on between her and the baby.
I don't know. I just thought she was watching him play.
Oh, my version that she was kind of, you know, staring at that shrub of berries or whatever that is that she has in her
hand. That's right.
And the baby was, and she was like melancholy, perhaps missing Kong. Uh-huh. And the baby was trying to get her attention and trying to cheer her up and entertain her.
Okay.
And I felt that he was entertaining her by acting aggressive, like, like Kong. Like, he was like, it's like this, look, I'm like, Dad, look. And he starts beating his chest. And then that makes her smile, and that makes him smile. And the fact I'm going, these ape costumes are smiling at each other.
I liked it. I liked the smiles.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude,
it's so goofy.
I like the smiling apes. They got Baby Kong looked like he had a shit-eating grin on him.
So 86. If that movie had come out earlier, like it's a long time between movies, actually.
Yeah.
Like if that movie had come out in like 1980, and I saw it, I would probably love this movie, and I would get emotional at the end every time.
Yeah.
But I can't. I'm too hardened now to fall for it right now.
My whole thing was that King Kong breaks free in like the first half hour, and the rest of the movie is just following him kind of rampaging. Like I feel like a movie sequel would normally have an excuse for the monster not to escape. Last episode, we're talking about kind of the formula of Jurassic Park movies, and you're just waiting for the monsters to get loose. It was nice to see the monster get loose at the beginning and kind of follow him as he survives in the jungle on his own. It was kind of nice because these Kong movies, you expect like the build up to seeing Kong and then the build up of capturing Kong and the build up of waiting for Kong to escape. So I liked that this was Kong escapes in the first half hour and we're off to the races. Like I really enjoyed that aspect of it. I was never bored.
That actually, you know, when Kong eats that hunter, that face he makes, you know, it's like he's about to sneeze. It looks like he's like,
wait, doesn't he blow? Does he sneeze on the guys, on the hunters? He spits the booze out.
Yeah,
or
he does something. Yeah, yeah.
Because I was gonna say, have you seen that kind of sneeze?
I like these costumes a lot.
Yeah,
I like and the people who did the ape work were great. I just think what they directed them to do was just so goofy sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, there's two shots of, or maybe there's more than two. Okay, from the first time when they're like, oh, he smells her. that first shot, it's like he's looking up at the moon.
Right. It's the only place he could look.
And you're like, he's looking at his.
The guy says he must be horny.
Yeah, and then there's later there's another part where they're when they're separated and they look up at the moon, and I was like, it's this is like this is the part where like the Kongs are gonna break into somewhere out there,
Oh, yeah.
which by the way is from the same year.
Oh. The, yeah. I assumed he knew he was horny. Not just from looking at the moon. He noticed something changing in Kong.
Well, because I, cause like, there's this thing, because there's shot, there's, there. Oh, man. Because there's like, there's other images that we've had Kong staring at the moon before.
Right.
And so I just thought it was that at first, and they were just kind of putting it on it. But then Linda Hamilton, no, he can smell her and he can hear her. He's totally had the hots for her. And I was like, oh, okay, I
It's
guess I,
convenient. I guess that's information we need to know.
I guess I was give I was I thought he was a gentleman.
It's been a while, at least
Yeah,
10
it's
years.
kind of it's yeah, there's an element of the baby made me think of that one Planet of the Apes movie that has
Oh,
the
yeah.
circus.
Escape from the Planet of the Apes, where at the end, I was waiting for Baby Kong to go, Mama,
Mama.
Mama. That's what it felt like when they were smiling. I don't know, man. I loved it. It's not top five.
You loved it.
Yeah, I thought it
Wow.
was great. I don't know. It struck me right. Like, it had great models and monster destruction. And had some fun. The goofy stuff was a little too goofy, but some of it I did like the dude getting broken in half and the
Oh,
Lamborghini getting some stepped on.
by the way, one of the other things I had come up when I was like looking up stuff about this movie, that it was planned to be aired on TBS on 9/11.
Oh.
And they went, oopsie, there's World Trade Center footage in this. We gotta not air this.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like this movie should be available. I don't think it's so bad that it should be like kind of wiped from existence.
I don't understand why it's not available.
Right. You can get pretty much any Kong movie streaming somewhere
Is it
or
just that they, I don't understand why they wouldn't
the only
the
thing I could think of is there's some sort of rights issue that's holding it up. Because I don't think it. I was expecting it to be horrible, I think, because it was so hard to get my hands on.
Yeah, and when we were like looking for it on the internet, I was like, for something that's unavailable, a lot of people have done blog posts and
Right.
podcasts about it.
But I had a fun experience watching it.
All right.
I'll stand by it. I liked it a lot. I would definitely watch it again. It's unique.
Do you have an?
It's a unique Kong movie for sure.
Do you own an all region DVD player?
I do not.
All right.
You would watch it again, I'm sure, right? Somewhere down
Yeah,
the
I'd
road?
watch it, but do other things.
Yeah.
I'd let it play, and they're like, "Oh, hang on,"
Yeah.
and go back and watch some of the segments. It might be something like the idea, like when I have a kid that I want to introduce monster movies to, I might play it. Well, I don't know. It's hard to tell. It's also
It's
very
violent.
violent.
Yeah.
It's hard to find that sweet spot age that the
Yeah.
kid can handle. I mean, it wasn't didn't have a high rating.
There was like a couple of seconds of boobs.
There was
That
kind of
was
like,
weird.
yeah, so I guess you show that to the kid around 14, which is kind of about like the how old you were when you saw that Romeo and Juliet. That's definitely Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
That's about the same amount of boob time,
Where you
screen
have to
time.
tell your parents that you're watching it and let the teacher know that it's okay.
Yeah.
Because there's 2 seconds of boobs.
Yeah, and there's male pubic hair.
But you know that that image is like still stuck in your brain. I know it is mine.
That lady? Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. Because
That's
we saw that at
yeah.
school.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my gosh, English class. I saw boobs at school. Like,
what? Yeah, and the teacher is very much about, listen, let's try and be mature about this. And we're like, yeah, okay. And it's just like silence.
That's like the only reason you sit through that movie.
Because
a 14-year-old boy is not going to sit through that movie, but if you hear... Yeah, all right. We don't need to keep talking about boobs.
Yeah, it's that thing where like you watch a movie just like, oh, let's go see this. Because it's rated R, and you're just kind of like, it was just like the gamble. It's like, listen, it's a rated R comedy, so why would it be rated R if it's a comedy? It's probably going to have boobs in it. And then you're like,
yeah.
I guess it was just cursing.
When I was a kid, when I was a kid, Stripes was the greatest. All right, let's talk about kid-friendly stuff, I think.
I'm sure.
Our next movie is our last Gamera movie.
Oh, man.
Gamera the Brave.
Last up, most likely the last, but who knows? You know, it's like we as we near the end of this whole project of ours, there may be times to revisit. Isn't there still like some? Wasn't there like some random Gamera series or something that happened?
I don't know. But if they make a new Gamera movie, I mean, everyone needs to stay subscribed because obviously we're going to talk about that. Recently, we've realized that Godzilla versus King Kong got pushed back to next year. So, I mean,
holy cow! Did you know that there was a Gamera video game, Gamera 2000?
No.
Came out in 97.
Whoa! Wonder if it's any good. I used to like the Godzilla fighting games for the GameCube.
Yeah.
Godzilla Melee and Destroy All Monsters, something Melee. Those were good. So yeah, I'm looking forward to Gamera the Brave. We will have seen every Gamera movie.
In order,
that's weird. We're coming down to the wire on this. That's episode 98.
Gamera the Brave, yeah.
Cool. So hopefully we'll have a link for you on that. I'm pretty sure there's a link on kaijupod.com where you can also get our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
That was exclusively for Japan PlayStation.
I'm sure they have some sort of thing you could play online. Or at least there's got to be video of it.
Yeah, probably.
Hopefully it's good.
What are you doing in here? The dog snuck in.
It's like I heard you guys talking about horses.
Let me see if I can show her a horse. Come here. What? You there?
Yeah. I was waiting to hear the dog go after the horse. I guess until next time.
Bring up a horse video and see what she does. I don't know if she'll do it because I got to hold her to see it. She's looking at it, but she's just... she's not reacting to it.
Is it too small?
I don't know. I don't know if she can make it out. It's finishing. I don't know, but yeah. Also, because I have my headphones on, she's not hearing the horses. It's just the image. Just
waiting for it to the horses to speak up. Well, until next time.
Oh no.
I'm gonna go grab my gigantic forceps.
I'm going to drive a big dump truck full of fruit and just dump it into the cylindrical enclosure.
Are you gonna go ape shit? All right.